on to NBA recap. Today is Friday, March 11th, and we had just two games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Philadelphia, the 76ers were demolished by the Brooklyn Nets, 129-100. And in Denver, the Warriors just edged past the Nuggets, 113-102. So we will break down both of those games in just a moment, but first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Philadelphia, where the 76ers were crushed by the Brooklyn Nets in Ben Simmons' return to Philly, 129-100. Kevin Durant led the way. He had 25 points for the Nets, and he was very efficient, 10 of 17 from the field, and he had 14 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, incredible stuff. And then they also got 24 points from Seth Curry and 22 from Kyrie Irving. Whereas the 76ers were led by Joel Embiid, he had 27 points and 12 rebounds. Although he was only 5 of 17 from the field, he was 15 of 19 from the free throw line. He was living on the charity stripe, and that just goes to show how valuable those points are, because even though he was shooting the ball pretty inefficiently, he was still able to generate quite a bit of offense from those free throws, and I'm pretty sure he had the most free throws in a half by any player so far this season. And then the 76ers also got 16 points from Tobias Harris and 11 points off the bench from George Niang and 11 points from James Harden as well. But he was brutal in this game. He was even worse than Joel Embiid, 3 of 17 from the field. And then Matisse Thybulle was 1 of 5. Tyrese Maxey was 2 of 7. Offensively, this was a struggle for the 76ers. As a team, they shot 32% from the field and 38% from three, whereas the Nets were very efficient, 56% from the field and 45% from three. And to make matters worse, the 76ers coughed the ball up 20 times versus just 12 turnovers for the Nets. So in basically every way, this was a total blowout, and it started from the very beginning. The Nets got out to a big lead after the first quarter. It was 40-23, and then they just made matters worse in the second quarter, 32-28, and then the third quarter, where they really put the nail in the coffin. They outscored the 76ers once again significantly. It was 30-19, so this was a total blowout. A 32-point advantage for the Nets heading into the fourth quarter. It was 102-70, and so it was just total garbage time in the fourth, obviously. The big storyline coming into the game was Ben Simmons. He was going to be in attendance, not playing, but on the bench for the Nets. And before the game even started, he was already getting heckled by fans just on the street heading from the hotel to the team bus. So it was starting really early there in Philadelphia, and then it kept going. And the pregame warm-ups, he was getting booed. At one point, he dunked, and the crowd sarcastically cheered. And then there was some fuck Ben Simmons chants at one point during the game when Joel Embiid was at the free throw line. But then pretty quickly, that all died down because this game was such a blowout that the fans started to get frustrated with their own team more so than their former player Ben Simmons. And by the time the third quarter rolled around and they were trailing by like 30 points, it was the 76ers themselves who were the targets of the fans' ire in Philadelphia. And so in terms of the actual standings, this was a really good win for the Nets because they are trying desperately to make their way back up the conference standings. They had fallen precipitously all the way down to eighth with the injuries to KD and then James Harden not playing and then Kyrie Irving obviously being unavailable for a lot of their games. So they're currently in eighth, but they're now two games up on the Charlotte Hornets in ninth, and then they're two games back from the Raptors in seventh. The Nets are in eighth. They've got a negative 0.4 point differential, which is frankly about where they should be in the standings, but they're now on a two-game winning streak. They're 4-6 in their last 10, but we shall see if they can keep this momentum going because they've looked a lot better recently, especially with KD and Kyrie both on the court together. And then it'll be really interesting to see how they look with Ben Simmons added to the mix. And I don't think I ever actually said their record. They are now 34-33 with this victory, so just over 500 there in the middle of the East. And as for the 76ers, this disappointing loss takes them to 40-25. So they're in third now. They've been surpassed by the Bucks. It's very tightly contested there at the top of the Eastern Conference. The Sixers are three games off the Heat in first, and then they're just half a game up on the Bulls in fourth. And Philly is plus 2.0 in the point differential, which is worse than a couple teams below them, namely the Celtics and Cavaliers. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. All right, so we can move on now to the box score. And the Nets were led, as I mentioned, by Kevin Durant. He was incredible. 25 points in 32 minutes. He was 10 of 17 from the field, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc. He had 14 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He did have 5 turnovers, but nonetheless, he was plus 34 in the plus-minus. That was the team high by far. So an incredible performance from Kevin Durant. And then they got 24 points from the former 76er, not Ben Simmons, but Seth Curry. he was on fire as well. 10 of 14 from the field and 4 of 8 from 3. So the offense was just off the charts for those two, Curry and Durant. They were a combined 20 of 31. That is insane. Curry also had 1 rebound, 2 assists, 5 steals, and a block. And then they got 22 from Kyrie Irving. He was 8 of 17 from the field, but he was also insane from 3. He was 5 of 11, and then he had 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. 7 points for Andre Drummond in the starting lineup, the other former 76er. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks. And then 11 points for Bruce Brown, rounding out the starting lineup. It looks like Steve Nash is finally returning to Bruce Brown in the starting lineup. He was experimenting with some of these rookies earlier in the season, like Kessler Edwards and David Duke Jr., but it looks like he's finally relying on Bruce Brown, who was fantastic last year, and he had 11 points in this game on 29 minutes. He was 5 of 9 from the field, and he had 2 rebounds. And off the bench for the Nets, there was some more incredible offense. James Johnson, Patty Mills, and Nick Claxton were all incredible. So Johnson, he was on fire. He was 6 of 7 from the field, 3 of 3 from beyond the arc. He had 16 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 5 blocks. Incredible stuff for James Johnson. And then 9 points for Nick Claxton. He was 4 of 5 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks. And then Patty Mills, he was on fire. 4 of 6 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. He had 10 points, 1 assist, 2 steals. The rest of the bench was not as efficient for the Nets. Kessler Edwards saw the court for 6 minutes, but he did not score. He was 0 of 3 from the field. Goran Dragic was 1 of 6 from the field. He had 3 points. And Cam Thomas, the rookie, had 2 points on 1 of 3 shooting. But as for the 76ers, they were led by Joel Embiid. He had 27 points, but he wasn't super efficient, 5 of 17 from the field in 30 minutes. He was negative 30 in the plus-minus. That was tied for the team low. He did have 19 free throw attempts, though. He was 15 of 19 from the line. They all came in the first half. Like I said, it was the most free throw attempts by any player in a half so far this season. He was 2 of 3 from beyond the arc, though, and he had 12 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 block. They also got 16 points from Tobias Harris. He was 5 of 10 from the field, 4 of 5 from beyond the arc. So actually, this was one of his better games in a while, which is saying something. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block. And then 11 points for James Harden, but he was brutal. 3 of 17 from the field. All of his makes came from beyond the arc. He had 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. But like Joel Embiid, he was also negative 30 in the plus-minus, and both of those guys had 4 turnovers. And then the other two starters, Tyrese Maxey and Matisse Thybulle, weren't much better. Maxey had 4 points on 2 of 7 shooting, and then Thybulle had 4 points as well on 1 of 5 shooting. And off the bench for the 76ers, they got 11 points from George Niang. He was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 2 threes, 5 rebounds. 10 points for DeAndre Jordan, the backup big man, the recent acquisition. He had 9 rebounds. He was 4 of 6 from the field in 17 minutes. They got 7 points from Paul Reed in 8 minutes. He was 3 of 6 from the field. And 8 points from Furkan Korkmaz. He had 2 three-pointers. 2 points for Isaiah Joe. He was 0 of 2 from the field. And Shake Milton was 0 of 6 from the field. He didn't score at all in 24 minutes. So, like I said, obviously a disappointing loss for the 76ers here. We shall see if this portends things to come going forwards, because they looked pretty desolatory against the Nets, especially in that first half when they were just totally dominated. And if this is what we can expect from the 76ers in big games going forwards, obviously James Harden has a propensity to wilt under the spotlight in big moments. So we shall see if this is something that's going to happen in the playoffs as well. And as for the Nets, a very encouraging win, their second win in a row, and they desperately needed it because they are way far down in the standings and they would love to get out of that play-in game if they could possibly manage to do that. And also, that would mean avoiding the Heat or the Bucks in the first round, which I'm sure they would love to do. All right, anyways, we can move on now to the other game on in the NBA last night. It was the Golden State Warriors defeating the Denver Nuggets, 113-102. This was a close one in the end. The scoreline doesn't quite indicate how close it was, in fact. It was back and forth down the stretch until the last, 2 minutes. After a couple of free throws from Aaron Gordon, it was the Nuggets who were leading by 2. It was 102-100. But then Steph Curry hit back-to-back 2-pointers. And then Jordan Poole hit back-to-back 3-pointers in the final minute of the game. And those 4 consecutive shots took the Warriors from being down 2 to up 8. And that was pretty much all she wrote. The Nuggets just could not get anything going down the stretch. In fact, those free throws from Aaron Gordon with 3 minutes to go were the last points that they scored. So a disappointing capitulation at the very end of the fourth quarter for the Nuggets. Overall, they were outscored in the fourth 25-18, but they were actually leading at various points earlier in the game. At one point in the second quarter, they had built up a double-digit lead. Devon Reed hit a 3-pointer with about 6 minutes to go in the second that put the Nuggets up by 12. It was 47-35. But then the Warriors quickly closed that gap within the next couple of minutes. But then thereafter, the Nuggets reestablished a lead, and then in the third quarter, it was much the same. The Nuggets were up by about 10. In fact, just a couple of minutes into the second half, Monty Morris hit a three-pointer, and at that point, the Nuggets were up by 13. It was 66-53. So the Nuggets were really controlling this game in the middle portion, the second and third quarters. But then by the end of the third, the Warriors had fought back and once again tied the game back up. In fact, overall in the third quarter, it was 37-24 in favor of the Warriors. So they were actually starting to take the lead themselves heading into the fourth. And then it was actually the Warriors who had built up a little bit of a lead at the beginning of the fourth quarter. So this was really a game of runs. After a three-pointer from Jordan Poole with about 8 minutes to go, it was a nine-point game. It was 96-87. So this one was just back and forth. It was the Nuggets early on who had the lead, but then the Warriors would fight back a couple of different times. And then it was the Warriors who were leading at the beginning of the fourth, but then the Nuggets would fight back. And then, like I was talking about before, it was really close down the stretch. And then ultimately, in the last couple of minutes, the Warriors were able to pull away as the Nuggets' offense stagnated. And overall, the Warriors were 47% from the field, 33% from three. So not exactly lighting the world on fire, but definitely good enough if your opponent only shoots 41% from the field and 22% from three. And on top of that, the Warriors were very tidy with the ball, only 8 turnovers versus 13 for the Nuggets. It's actually uncharacteristic for the Warriors because they're usually a pretty sloppy ball handling team, but they were very clean with the ball handling in this game. Pretty much the only area in which the Nuggets were dominant was the rebounding. They out-rebounded the Warriors 49-36, but that was not nearly enough to overcome the shooting disparity and the ball handling disparity. And so with this loss, the Nuggets now fall to 40-27. So they are still in sixth in the Western Conference, but they're just half a game behind the Dallas Mavericks. They are 2 games up on the Minnesota Timberwolves in seventh. And the Nuggets are plus 2.8 in the point differential, which is actually worse than the Wolves below them, but it's about where they should be. Those three teams, the Mavs, Nuggets, and Wolves, are all very close in that regard. And the Nuggets are still 8-2 in their last 10 games, despite this loss. As for the Warriors, this win takes them to 45-22, so they're in third in the Western Conference, but they're now tied with the Memphis Grizzlies. They're in third due to the tiebreaker, but both of those teams are at 45-22. They're both 8.5 games off the top spot, the Phoenix Suns in first, and then they are 3 games up on the Jazz in fourth. So it'll be interesting to see who ultimately ends up with that 2 seed, because that would guarantee you at least 2 series with home court advantage. And that would obviously be very valuable for a younger, more inexperienced team like the Memphis Grizzlies. But anyways, the Warriors are plus 6.3 in the point differential, which is actually third best in the conference. It's just behind the Jazz and Suns. The Warriors are on a 2-game winning streak now, but they're still 3-7 in their last 10 games. So perhaps this is a sign that they have turned things around here. They still don't have Draymond Green, but they looked a lot better in these last 2 games. And so we shall see if they can keep this momentum going forwards. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Warriors were led by Steph Curry. He had 34 points in 38 minutes. He was 11 of 21 from the field. He was 5 of 12 from 3 and 7 of 7 from the free throw line. So really incredible offense and efficiency for Curry. He had 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals as well. And he was plus 18 in the plus minus, which was by far the starter's high. And then they got 18 points from Klay Thompson, although he was much less efficient, 7 of 20 from the field. Overall this season, he's not exactly been shooting the ball that efficiently. He's been 40% from the field, 35% from 3, 92% from the free throw line. So not the worst shooting splits in the world, but definitely not up to his lofty standards. For his career, he averages almost 42% from 3. So we shall see going forwards if he can bump up that efficiency a little bit more. He was 2 of 8 from 3 in this game. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks, though. And then 10 points for Kevon Looney. He was perfect, 5 of 5 from the field in 27 minutes. He had 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal. Only 7 points for the all-star starter Andrew Wiggins in 34 minutes. He was 3 of 11 from the field, 0 of 3 from the free throw line, 1 of 7 from beyond the arc. Not the best shooting game for Wiggins. He had 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. And then 5 points for Moses Moody, the rookie, rounding out the starting lineup. He only played 18 minutes, and he was tied for the team low in the plus-minus, negative 7. But off the bench for the Warriors, they got 21 points from Jordan Poole. He has been on fire lately, and he was on fire once again in this game. 8 of 13 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, including those clutch three-pointers in the fourth quarter. He also had 5 rebounds, 7 assists. He was the team high plus 29 in the plus minus. Incredible stuff for Poole. And then Jonathan Kuminga, the other rookie, he had 18 points in just 22 minutes. He has been incredible as well. He was 7 of 12 from the field, including 2 three-pointers, and he had 3 rebounds as well. And then that was actually it in terms of the scoring off the bench for the Warriors. Nemanja Bjelica saw the court for 20 minutes, but he was 0 of 1 from the field. He did have 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And then Juan Toscano-Anderson and Damian Lee also saw the court briefly, but they also did not score. And as for the Denver Nuggets, they were led by the reigning MVP, Nikola Jokic. He had 23 points in 32 minutes, but it wasn't his best game. 9 of 21 from the field, 0 of 8 from beyond the arc. He did have 12 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, but he also had 5 turnovers. So a bit of an off night for the Joker. Then they got 19 points from Monty Morris. He was actually pretty efficient. 8 of 14 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist. 11 points for Jeff Green. He was 3 of 5 from the field, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. 10 points for Aaron Gordon. He was ice cold, 2 of 11 from the field. He had 11 rebounds, 1 assist. And 2 points rounding out the starting lineup for Austin Rivers. He was also ice cold, 1 of 6 from the field in 31 minutes. He was 0 of 4 from beyond the arc, and he had 2 rebounds. So really brutal stuff for most of the starters. Jokic and Rivers going a combined 0 of 12 from 3. And off the bench for Denver, they got 10 points from the rookie, Bones Highland. In 22 minutes, he was 4 of 8 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. 9 points for the recent acquisition, the backup big man, DeMarcus Cousins. In 14 minutes, he was 3 of 6 from the field, and he had 3 rebounds. And 6 points for Jamichael Green, Bryn Forbes, and Devon Reed. And that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for the Nuggets. All right, so that will do it for our box score breakdown. We can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And with just 2 games on in the association last night, there wasn't too many incredible options. There was a couple of good ones, though. So just to run through some of the options, you had Nikola Jokic dropping 23, 12, and 9, but he wasn't super efficient, 9 of 21 from the field. You had 22 points from Kyrie Irving, 24 from Seth Curry. His brother Steph had 34. He had 9 rebounds. But it's ultimately going to be Kevin Durant. He's your standout line of the night. He just had a well-rounded line in the win versus the 76ers. In 32 minutes only, he had 25 points on a very efficient 10 of 17 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers. He was 3 of 6 from beyond the arc. And he had 14 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. Now, he did have 5 turnovers, but that efficiency is just really incredible for KD. And those 14 rebounds, that is way above his season averages. On the season, he's averaging 7. So that was really impressive. Kevin Durant is absolutely your standout line of the night. As for surprising line of the night, it was an easy pick. His teammate, James Johnson, off the bench for the Nets. He had 16 points on 6 of 7 shooting. He was 3 of 3 from beyond the arc, and he had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 5 blocks. James Johnson out of nowhere dropping the 5 blocks and the incredible efficiency for 16 points. On the season, he's just averaging 6 points, 3 rebounds, half a block, and half a steal. So these were obviously well above his averages. Although throughout his career, he's had the propensity to put up monster lines every once in a while. He's got a penchant for the defensive categories, and that's always a good thing for fantasy. So James Johnson is your surprising line of the night, and Kevin Durant is your standout line of the night. And with that, we can move on now to our preview for tonight, Friday, March the 11th. Once again, we've got a full slate of action on the schedule in the NBA today, 10 games. Starting off in Orlando, the Magic are taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Wolves are big favorites. They are -7.5. In Atlanta, the Hawks take on the LA Clippers, and the Hawks are -6.5. In Boston, the Celtics are taking on the Detroit Pistons, and the Celtics are -13.5. In Miami, the Heat face the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Heat are -7. In Memphis, the Grizzlies take on the New York Knicks, and the Grizz are -10. In Houston, the Rockets are facing the Dallas Mavericks, and the Mavs are -10.5. In New Orleans, the Pelicans take on the Charlotte Hornets, and the Hornets are -2.5. In San Antonio, the Spurs are taking on the Utah Jazz, and the Jazz are -5.5. In Phoenix, the Suns take on the Toronto Raptors, and the Suns are -6. And finally, in Los Angeles, the Lakers are taking on the Washington Wizards, and the Lakers are -4.5. All right, so a couple of intriguing lines across the league tonight. I am intrigued by several of these Eastern Conference matchups with big favorites. The Celtics -13.5, the Timberwolves -7.5, and then the Hawks -6.5 versus the Clippers. All of these just seem a little bit peculiar to me. The Wolves being -7.5. I guess it makes sense. They've been really hot recently. In fact, they've been one of the best teams in the entire NBA as of late. They're on a 6-game winning streak. It's apparently the first time in like 15 years that they've been on such a streak. And so I don't think I'm going to be going against the Timberwolves at any time soon. But with that being said, the Magic have been pretty respectable lately. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. So we'll see if the Timberwolves can cover that 7.5 line. Like I said, the Hawks being -6.5 also just seems a bit high for me because the Clippers are always a plucky team. They're 7-3, in fact, in their last 10. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Clippers covered that +6.5, but I'm going to stay away from that one as well. And then, like I said, the Pistons being +13.5 just seems a little bit high as well because they are also pretty plucky recently. They are 6-4 in their last 10. A lot of these bottom dwellers have actually gotten some surprising wins lately, like the Knicks as well. So I'm not really sure if I want to put any faith into any of those teams to actually cover, but I'll be keeping my eye on them and see. I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of those covered. So ultimately, we've just got one best bet for today. Just going to keep it simple. We're going to go with the Phoenix Suns -6 at home versus the Raptors. Now, to be fair, Toronto looked a lot better in that last game against the Spurs. They got Fred VanVleet back and he led the team, and they just looked so much more competent with him in the lineup. So I'm a little bit worried by that. But I think overall, without OG Anunoby, they've looked a little bit softer. They're 4-6 only in their last 10 games. And the Suns, despite not having Chris Paul, they're still on a 2-game winning streak right now. And they've got that best point differential in the entire NBA, +7.9. They're 8.5 games up on the Grizzlies and Warriors in second and third. It's just absurd how dominant the Suns have been. They're the first team in the league so far to clinch a playoff seed. So if they were still without Booker and Chris Paul, then I'd be a little bit more worried. But if they've got one, at least one of those guys, they're just the team to beat in the NBA, frankly. So I'm going to take the Phoenix Suns -6 at home versus the Toronto Raptors. And that's going to be our only best bet for today. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we're at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap all 10 of those games and preview the action for Saturday, March the 12th. Until then, thanks for tuning in.